Good morning! Good morning! The energy in here is fabulous! What a wonderful day to gather and worship God together here at Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are glad that you are here. A few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways that we are church together. And in your bulletin, there are lists of announcements and also a few calendars that let you know about our worship fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Don't hesitate to ask someone around you if you have any questions. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive your questions and comments. So, just a few announcements very quickly. One, if you have been searching for ways to grow in your faith and be nurtured by community, an invitation is extended to you. This Wednesday, our Bible study group begins again at 6:30 in the Junior High Lounge. You don't even have to have a Bible. Just come, and we would be glad to share one with you and in our conversation and prayer life together. Also, in your bulletin this morning is a white piece of paper that says Recommendation of Church Officers for 2013. Please prayerfully consider if God is calling you to nominate yourself or someone else for leadership here at GPC. Outlines all the different ways you can get that back to us. Let myself or Keith Hadley know if you have any questions. Peter.
I know the timer has started already. Is it gone under that?
It's gone.
Great excitement today, and I hope we can tap into some of that excitement because I'm offering you a chance today in the adult lounge, 11:15. We're changing the second hour program, and we need your energy, your creativity, and your enthusiasm. Come there, help us change second hour. Thanks.
Thank you. Tom and Elena have an announcement.
Good morning. Just wanted to let you know that tomorrow night we're going to be meeting with our Guatemala Partners Group. This church should be very, very proud of the fact that we have a community of Mayan widows in Guatemala. We've helped them become self-sufficient. Very few churches can have that kind of a claim. And we're planning on joining Batavia Presbyterian Church on our next journey down there, probably towards the end of July. So if you're at all interested in helping us or coming on the trip, it should be a great trip. We're going to go to Randall Shays Village. We're going to go to Rio Negro, the home of Jesus Tico Osorio, who you've met, and also our own village there in Panacao. So come tomorrow night at 7 o'clock to learn more. Thank you.
Thank you. Carol Ann.
It's kickoff Sunday, and I'm so happy to see everybody here. A couple of announcements. Church school children, when you come up for the Thoughts for Children, I will stay up here, and when I dismiss you and parents, you will go with your child to your child's class to meet the teacher and hear about what your child will be learning. You'll only be out of the worship center a few minutes. Please do not feel awkward when you come back in. We all know you're coming back in, and we know what you've been doing. So just come in and smile and take your seat. And ushers, if you'll leave the doors open, I think that'll be a little helpful, too, until everybody's back in. Youth, kickoff tonight, kickoff party. We've got a great party planned for you. I hope to see all of you there. Also, don't forget, church school, your church school starts today, too, after worship. Thanks.
What a joy it is to have everyone gathered together to worship God this morning. A reminder that young children are a very important part of not only our Sunday school program, but our worship time together. Excellent. See, those noises are part of the way that all of us are able to lift our voices in praise of God. So let us do so and worship God together.
Please stand if you are able for the call to worship. We come to worship, remembering God's care and provision.
We come to worship, recognizing that we have made poor choices and are reduced to God's abundance.
We come to worship, realizing that God can change us and bring us into right relationship with Him and the whole creation. We come to worship, to love, and to serve God.
Join together in bringing before God and our community that which separates us from each other and in our relationship with God. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Holy Creator, we acknowledge that we play a part in breaking the relationship between people and the land where food is grown as production chains become longer and more unfamiliar. We have broken the relationship between people and place as we become less and less aware of where or how our food is produced. Broken, too, are the relationships between people and the natural world as we have increased specialization and demand food that is out of season. for our part in breaking the relationship between people and livestock as the poor conditions of animals in factory farms are overlooked. We ask your forgiveness. We now bring silent prayers of forgiveness. The living Lord Jesus, who came to earth to reconcile all relationships in creation and to restore the broken, grants us full forgiveness and power to effect positive changes. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's start over here.
Beginning of the summer, when you led worship and you walked down the aisles and you put your paper seed in the dirt on our screen? Who remembers that? Excellent. Well, look what happened. That's exactly right. The vegetables grew because of the good dirt, sunshine, rain. The vegetables grew. Now, we know this isn't real. In fact, the artist is Mrs. Sidori. She did a good job, didn't she? But what is real is that you also gave lots of people in the congregation that day packs of seeds. And many of them took them home, planted them, and they've been bringing back part of their harvest all summer long. Melissa and I, every single week, have taken vegetables to places that help people that don't have enough food. So thank you for doing that. And I see that you brought lots of vegetables today too. So I'm going to ask you now to get up and come put them in our baskets. And go back and sit on the rug. Yay, this is great. There's another basket over here. Nice job. That's good. That's fine. Hey, Alex, you want to put it right there? Oh, that is beautiful. Nice job. We're filling up both baskets. Outstanding. Thank you so much for sharing vegetables with the people in our city who don't have enough to eat. Next week, I will tell you where I take them and what happens when I take them. So, something else grew this summer. You know what it is? You grew. You got taller. You got older. Must be playing in that good sunshine, all that great exercise, fresh vegetables, sleep and relaxation. You grew. And so now you're ready to go in your new Sunday school class. You're going to have a new teacher and a new room. And I hope that during this time, you'll also grow in your relationship with God. So, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to ask everybody to help us make some promises and about this coming church school year. And that includes you. So we're going to ask you to promise to learn about the Bible, to learn the stories, and to practice your faith, and to learn more about your faith. And when it's time for you to respond and you want to make that promise, you shout yes. So let's, yeah, sort of like that. So let's try it. Okay, when I do this, you shout as loud as you can, yes. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Yes!
Not bad. I hope you do that well, congregation. So I think you're all ready. I'm going to invite Keith Hadley, who's chairperson of our youth committee, and Linda Sidori, who's chairperson of our young children committee, to come help us with this. And then I'm going to also ask teachers and advisors to stand as I call your name. You can just stand in place. You don't need to come forward. Teaching the preschoolers, Jessica Virchovich, Rachel Molina, Cam Mosgraber, Beth Ullman. Teaching kindergarten, Katie Fish, Dave Fish, Rebecca Jarvis, Alex Thornton. Teaching first and second grade, Jossie Pym, Heather Pym, Bridget Wallers. Teaching third and fourth grade, Lauren Hindelberg, Anne-Marie Sim, Erica Strawbridge. Teaching fifth and sixth grade, Elaine Owlett and Tammy Pignoni. Teaching sixth and seventh and eighth grade, Todd Pym. And teaching ninth, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, Mary Hadley and Mary Wall. Youth advisors, junior high, Carol Bosley, Dave Bosley, Gary Dykes, senior high, Keisha Binko, Sharon Call, Joe Castrino, and Dave Fesch. Before we begin, can everybody give these people a big round of thank you? Okay.
Today is the beginning of our educational year. This morning, we celebrate the ways in which we are spiritually fed through our Christian education programs. Spiritual growth is one of the core values of our ministry together as people of God.
During baptisms, we promise to share with those baptized the good news of the gospel and to teach them all that Christ commands. One way we honor those promises is by providing and supporting programs for our children.
Another way we honor those promises is by providing and supporting programs for our youth.
We rejoice that many have said yes to God's call to teach in our Sunday school and advise in our youth group.
Teachers and advisors, will you promise to give your time, your effort, and your love to nurture the spiritual growth of those in your care? If so, please say I will.
Okay, get ready. It's our time.
Children and youth, will you promise to study the stories of your faith and seek to grow in God's love? If so, please shout very loud, yes.
Yeah!
Members of Gates Presbyterian Church, you have provided an educational program that offers children and youth a chance to learn the biblical stories, to explore their faith, and discover ways in which God wants them to live their lives. Do you also promise to pray throughout the semester for our teachers, for our advisors, and for our learners? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Let us pray. God of grace, pour out your spirit on your servants so that they may be faithful teachers and advisors in your church. Give them joy in their work. Plant in all of us a yearning to spiritually grow in ways that help us to understand you better and to know your will. Amen.
All right, now you may go get your parents and go find your new church school class, your new Sunday school class. And
thank you.
The first reading of the word is from Leviticus 25, 1 through 12 and 18 through 24. The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land that I am giving you, the land shall observe a Sabbath for the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in their yield. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap the aftergrowth of your harvest or gather the grapes of your unpruned vine. It shall be a year of complete rest for the land. You may eat what the land yields during its Sabbath, your male and female slaves, your hired and your bound laborers who live with you, for your livestock also, and for the wild animals in your land. All its yield shall be for food. You shall count off 7 weeks of the years, 7 times 7 years, so that the period of 7 weeks of years gives 49 years. Then you shall have the trumpet sounded loud on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall have the trumpet sounded throughout all your land, and you shall hallow the 50th year, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all of its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. You shall return, every one of you, to your property, and every one of you of your family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. You shall not sow or reap the aftergrowth or harvest the unpruned vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat only what the field itself produces. You shall observe my statutes and faithfully keep my ordinances, so that you may live on the land securely. The land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live on it securely. You should ask, what shall we eat in the 7th year, if we may not sow or gather in our crop? I will order my blessing for you in the 6th year, so that it will yield a crop for 3 years. When you sow in the 8th year, you will be eating from the old crop until the 9th year, when its produce comes in, and you shall eat the old. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. With me you are but aliens and tenants. Throughout the land you shall hold, you shall provide for the redemption of the land.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus told the disciples a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." When he said, "I will do this, I will pull down my barns, and I will build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Following worship last week, a great comment appeared in the hospitality register. Yes, I do read them. And it said, "I'm not sure where you're going with this faith and food worship series, ... yet." To be honest with you, I'm not sure where God is taking us through these scripture texts either. But here are two things I do know. First, I love food. Second, God says a lot about food through the words of Scripture. Did I mention that I love food? I mean, really, I love good food. A peach warmed by the summer sun picked off that tree, and one bite sends the juices dripping from fingers to elbow. And now, of course, at this time of year, it's all about the apples. I swear, just the right kind. I can taste the crispness of a cool fall morning. And I'm not a vegetarian, either. The joke in my family is hand Melissa a knife, a fork, and a salt shaker, and she'll eat her steak still mooing. So, and as passionate as I am about good food and cooking good food, I'm not all that fanatical about processed food. My grocery list includes frozen chicken nuggets and SpaghettiOs. You're just as likely to see an empty Taco Bell bag in my front seat as you are an apple core. This worship series has also solicited a few concerns that I'm going to climb up on a soapbox and find ways for all of us to feel guilty about that Big Mac indulgence. I assure you, that's not my plan. This worship series is about a hunger, pun intended here, to connect our faith to our everyday life. And what better possible way than to theologically reflect on something that our very life depends on? Food. Food is our most basic need, the very stuff of life. And for more than 10,000 years, farmers have worked with nature to evolve crop varieties to suit diverse climates and cultures. And in part, religious cultures have played a very important role in regulating how and when
fields and vineyards are pruned and harvested. The book of Leviticus that we reflected on this morning includes the decrees of observing Sabbath and consecrating a year of jubilee for all people, land, and animals to ensure that creation can cohabitate safely together. All of these provisions are woven together by one common thread. The land does not belong to those who are sowing the fields, gathering the crops, or pruning the vineyards. It belongs to God. And the psalmist reiterates this commonly held belief of God's people that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, everything belongs to God. The seas, the skies, the land, the dirt, the apples and peaches, the cows, and everything that is made or produced from the earth, including all of us, belong to God. Now, living in a developed nation, we don't think much about food, where it comes from, who grows it, or the condition of the earth it grows in. We walk into a supermarket and there is an abundance of attractive and fairly inexpensive food, and we buy it. And in large part, we can thank one man for that. His name is Norman Borlaug and the Green Revolution of the 1950s. This revolution was in agriculture, and it nearly doubled the corn, wheat, and rice yields between the 1950s and the 1990s. Nearly doubled. But to achieve this record output, farmers used newly developed seed varieties in combination with increased irrigation and the application of fertilizers and pesticides, and small farms growing a variety of food using manual labor were replaced by large farms growing one crop using heavy machinery. Without a doubt, these advancements in technology means that crops like corn and wheat and soybeans are mass-produced, sold at unbelievably cheap prices, and then these crops are used to feed the cows we eat, fuel the cars we drive, package and process the food we eat. All in all, the Green Revolution was hailed as a production and efficiency success story. Though all is not well with the revolution, we hear about it in bits and pieces on the news, in the newspaper. And now this revolution that once was called green is being referred to as a bit brown because it's saturated with the use of fossil fuels to provide fertilizers and pesticides, to run the equipment that irrigates, cultivates, harvests, transports, and processes whatever foods are grown. And we know that we can't expect fossil fuels, the crops they are growing, the land and water that sustain them, or the people, for that matter, will continue to be available in an endless or cheap supply. We can't say to ourselves that our life can be always easy, that we can drink and be merry and rely on our me, myself, and I mentality. For this is a refusal of relationship. But the gifts of land and water, seed and crop, farmer and farm workers and eaters, that we all belong to God. It is this me, myself, and I mentality that the biblical commentator David Loess notes as Jesus' focus in the parable of the farmer that we heard this morning from the Gospel of Luke. We often hear that parable around stewardship season time, right? As a way to convince people abundance is bad, or if we have more of something that we don't need, we shouldn't store it away in bigger barns. As it turns out, perhaps Jesus' parable wasn't pointing his disciples to the dangers of setting aside a bit of what we have today for tomorrow, or making any recommendations about the appropriate square footage of a barn. Rather, that the farmer has fallen prey to the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. In our present agricultural and eating systems, God's land is being squeezed for maximum profit, and filling barns are in many cases just throwing it away with no or very little regard for the health of the soil and plants, the animals or people who work in the fields. We, the eaters, have placed ourselves at the center of importance, disregarding everything else. But just because we eat does not mean that we hold in our hands or in our bellies the right to objectify that food by means of power, control, and convenience. The difficult and uncomfortable truth that the gospel message confronts us with this morning is that we cheapen God's gift and our responsibility to honor that gift for the furtherance of life when we are not mindful that it all belongs to God. When we eat, we belong to God. And when we eat well, we discover that creation is an indescribably complex, vast, and deep food web, and that others intersect with us at multiple points, the source of inspiration and nurture. We begin to see and taste how some patterns of life are inappropriate, because they do compromise, exhaust, and destroy this food web. We come to terms with our own anxieties that we do belong to others, that they need us just as much as we need them, and the weight of that responsibility and gift can feel overwhelming. And so rather than feel this burden of relationship and membership to creation and God, we have often chosen the path of refusing that relationship by constructing bigger barns to store up the sins of our refusal to belong to God and God's creation by believing we can control it and turn it into a commodity. The theological word to describe this cheapening of God's gift and cutting ourselves off from this relationship with that gift is that word we don't like to use very often: sin. Theologian Herbert McCabe describes it this way, that the root of all sin is fear, the very deep fear that we are nothing. The compulsion, therefore, to make something of ourselves, to construct self-flattering images of ourselves we can worship, to believe in ourselves, our fantasy selves. I think all sins are failures in being realistic. Even the simple everyday sins of the flesh that seem to move from mere childish greed for pleasure have their deepest origin in anxiety about whether we really matter. The anxiety that makes us desperate for self-assurance. We don't need to build bigger barns to hide our anxiety, our self-centered refusal of not being sure if we truly belong to this complicated system that God has created for us. There is another way. God calls humanity to a life of belonging, of relationship to God and creation, informed by mercy and care, fidelity and love. Our dwelling in creation is to be inspired by the God who dwelt among us, and in that dwelling shows us the ways of forgiveness and peace and joy. We can learn to feed our hunger for the connection of faith to everyday life by valuing and being in relationship with God's gift of food, the land that it was grown in, and the people who grew it. Most of us here today aren't farmers, and it isn't likely that we're going to become them. If you live in the city or in an apartment, or simply just don't get excited by the idea of digging in the dirt to create a garden, that doesn't give any of us an excuse to be passively disconnected from God's gifts. We can participate in our relationship to food by first paying attention to what we are eating. That's the teaser for you to stay tuned next week when we'll talk about more about how to do that. But between now and then, we've got this whole week, and we can start. We can start by taking one meal like we did for the potluck, or just one food item this week. Learn something about it. Learn something about it. And that might be easy if you do a lot of food shopping at the farmer's market. But for many of us, a few clicks and Google can teach us quite a bit about the chicken nuggets and box of macaroni and cheese we are eating. And if you are able to determine where that food was grown, how it was transported, packaged, and prepared, then ask yourself, does this item of food cheapen God's gift by building a barn of me, myself, and I? What does it value, the relationship between God and creation? Let me know what you find out. Hospitality Register is a great place to communicate your responses. You can also drop me an email or a phone call. I'd love to hear what you find out. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Dick Stewart. As many of you know, our daughter Sarah and her family live in the Chicago area. Sarah's mother-in-law, Esther, is now under hospice care. We ask that you pray for Sarah and her family as they say goodbye, and also for Esther's comfort.
Tracy Berkovich. Wanted prayers for my mom as she continues her drive to Florida. She should arrive today. And also, again, wanted to just thank GPC as the village that it is. And 11 years ago this month, I walked into this church. And today, Jessica went from being the preschool student to being the preschool teacher. And Samantha, being not old enough to walk yet, and here she sits with me through the entire service. So thank you.
Thanks be to God.
Morning, Derek Payne. Our son Kevin, 4 years ago, received the Mustard Seed Scholarship here, and we just wanted to pass along that he's doing just great at Texas A&M. And just received an internship with Boeing that he's very excited about. So thank you for your support of him and for all the youth here.
And give him our love.
Well, hello, Bill Wallens here. July 20th, I finished all of my treatments and got our test results back this week, and everything's normal and clear. So I'm officially a cancer survivor today.
Yes.
Thank you. And obviously, we couldn't have done it without the grace and mercy of God and all your prayers, and for that, we are eternally grateful. Thank you very much.
Ed Coons, I'd like to thank my Gates Presbyterian family for all our prayers, the death of my younger brother, Bob. You don't begin to understand how important your church family is until you go through an experience like that. Thank you.
Hi, Todd Pym. Just wanted to share a joy and a thank you to people at church here for all the well wishes. This past Friday, Heather and I celebrated our 16th wedding anniversary, and as Heather would say, 16 long years. So thank you.
Many, many more.
Hi, I'm Marie Wilson. I promised my niece I'd ask you all to pray for their family. My nephew, Anthony Walkham, he's 21, and he's in the Air Force, and he was sent to Afghanistan last week. And on 9/11, they bombed his base 3 times. And he's so scared, and if you could keep him in your prayers, Anthony Walkham.
Let us pray. Creator God, we marvel at your creation plan and rejoice in the wonder of the evolving nature of our own spiritual beings. You created us with a yearning for knowledge and a hunger for spiritual food. We come to you on this kickoff Sunday excited about the possibilities that our program year offers. We ask that you work through our educational program. And we give you thanks for the teachers and the advisors who have said yes to your call. We give you thanks for parents who understand Christian education as fundamental to their child's development. And we pray for our own children and youth. May this be a year of spiritual discovery for them. Open all of our hearts and minds so that we, as we age, may also deepen our relationship with you. And this morning we come to you weeping, as we witness the massive unrest throughout our world. We desperately want peace in our world, but are discouraged as we watch hate bubbling up from all sides and all directions. And we pray this morning for the families of the Americans killed in Libya, and we give you thanks for their commitment to diplomacy. Renew our hope, O God, that peace is possible. Remind us of your mandate to forgive, to love, even our enemies. Remind us that we are all in relationship with each other. As we pray the Lord's Prayer together, help us to hear the divine power in the words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us bring our guests forward.
In prayer of thanksgiving that is printed in your bulletin. God of our future and our present, help us to enable life's great feast to happen here and now, to open our hearts and hands, baskets and pockets, to share bread with our neighbors, to share peace with our neighbors, so that in the most ordinary of miracles, all are fed. Amen.
Thank you.
won't be able to ignore the verse about the cold winds for much longer, will we? But we know that all of creation, the seasons, the earth, the wind, the sky, and our very beings, amen, come from God. And for that, we give our thanks and praise now and always. Go strengthened by that grace of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit now and always. Amen.